Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
You may hear some banging in my background, but they're building a house next door, so excuse me for the noise today. I'm going to get our co-host in. First of all, we have Clarence Allen, the regulator. Good morning, Clarence. Okay, and while we're waiting on Clarence, I have Miss Linda on the line. Good morning, Miss Linda.
Good morning. I'm sorry I missed last
Monday. And join the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show,
Clarence.
The Eddie Justice Jones blog talk show. Cousin B, let me just say this. I am so disappointed in this country. We have to give condolences to the Wright family out in Brooklyn Center, Wisconsin. Police killed another young man, 20-year-old Dante Wright, last night. It's a shame.
Hello, Clarence, I was trying to get you to hold on because it took a while. So Miss Linda was speaking, so we want to get Miss Linda in, let her finish, and then you can come in. And Cousin Eddie is also on the line, so I want him to come in also. Okay, Miss Linda.
Well, I just wanted to say I felt really bad last Monday. I woke up early and I got busy, and then before I knew it, the show was over and I had forgotten to get on. So I apologize for that.
That's okay. We'll just say a prayer for you and hope you still feel well this week. Okay, and then I'm going to get Cousin Eddie on the line because I know he has to work. So good morning, Cousin Eddie.
It is Pastor Eddie Jones. Pastor Eddie Jones, welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And, boy, do we have a show for you this week. I want to thank everybody that's listening, and somebody's phone is feeding back. So if you could, if you're not talking, please put your phone on mute because we can hear a lot of stuff in the background. And that's taken away from what's going on.
I already apologize for it. They're building a house today in back of my house, so you will hear some feedback from that. And they're working on the roof, so hopefully they'll be through with that. They started early this morning.
Oh, that's okay. It's not the roof. It was kind of like it's a electrical feedback. But anyway, it's all going to be good. And, boy, do we have a show for you. And who else is in the studio with us, Cousin V?
All our co-hosts are on the line. We have Clarence, Professor Ring, Talana, and Cousin Vera. Cousin Talana and Cousin Vera.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? How y'all feeling today?
Oh, just fine, Pastor Jones. Yes.
Hey,
good morning,
guys.
Good morning, Pastor Eddie.
Good morning. I love you guys.
Good
morning, everybody. Vera, I want to thank you for those sandwiches that you brought us over the weekend while we were working to move Paul and our mother. I want to say it on the radio. You brought the best tuna sandwiches I ever had in a long time. And thank you for the hummus and the carrots and the celery. And it was so good, Vera. Thank you very much. And Cousin V, how are you doing? Are you feeling better? Because, we know you were a little under the weather. Are you feeling better, Cousin V?
Yes, I found out I have asthma after all of this that's been going on, so I'm feeling a lot better. So just keep prayers up for me because that breathing part is a hard thing to deal with.
Yes, it is. It is. So our hearts and our prayers go out to you. To all the co-hosts and co-producers on the show, I love you guys. God bless you. It's a beautiful day. Let's get into our first topic. Our first topic is very important. Why don't you read off our first topic for us, Cousin B, please?
Okay, the first topic is the George Floyd case. What's really going on?
Okay, that is our subject matter for today. Our first topic is the George Floyd case. What's really going on? Okay, remember the Rodney King case, you guys? They swept it up under the rug, and they didn't put the police officers in jail. And it caused one of the worst riots that ever hit the United States of America. And I've got a feeling that if they don't convict this police officer that put his knee on George Floyd's neck, I think it's going to be more than just a riot. I think it's going to be a scar on America for African Americans and Latinos and people of color. And I think we're just fed up with it, and I think people are ready to go ballistically berserk. And I think they need to do the right thing. And with that being said, I'm going to go straight to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, weigh in. What's really going on with the George Floyd case? What's going on, brother?
Yes, Pastor Eddie. Before I mention the George Floyd case, let me just mention this. Yesterday, a 20-year young man, was shot and killed up in the Brooklyn City, Wisconsin.
Morning.
This is not
Happy Monday.
This is not far from where George Floyd was murdered, so for a traffic stop and a warrant. But with the George Floyd case, we're moving into our third week of the case. Last week, we listened to a lot of subject matter experts with law enforcement, doctors, pathologists, and all those experts. And doing the case, the defense is doing its best to plant any reasonable doubt. But all those subject matter experts is clearing that doubt. You know, they want to put doubt that drugs may have played a part in his demise. They want to play that his heart, he had a heart condition, played in a part of his demise. But when you listen to the subject matter experts, they said it was the suffocation of the knee on his back. Even the defense wants to say that the knee wasn't on his neck. They want to say he was in a prone position and the knee was on his back. But the subject matter experts said it's because, and I was listening to a show, and one thing that's not covered in this case is his face was down by the tailpipe of the running vehicle. So not only if he's able to get air, if he is able, he's breathing carbon monoxide from the engine of the police car running down at the rear of the car. So, Pastor Jay, this is an amazing subject matter expert, and I'm going to yield the floor back to you and the other co-hosts.
Okay, Professor Rains, would you like to chime in and give us your thoughts on the George Floyd case?
Oh, well, thank you, Cousin B. Yes, let's go with from what I'm working with my students with, because we're dealing with it from a criminal law point of view, because it's teach law at the university. Clarence, excellent job, because you just mapped out the three theories that they're looking at. It is the other cause theory, which deals with the health and drugs, and that they thought that it was his own health problem due to drugs that resulted in his death. And as you mentioned, that's been refuted. The next one is the force is unattractive theory. That means that what you see is not what you're really seeing on the video. That just because the person's on the a person's knee is on the throat, that is just part of police policy and procedures. And it's wonderful to see that the chief of police, which is the biggest one, and all the other police officers say, no, that's not what we taught our police officers to do. That is the last thing that you need to do in order to restrain the person. So that's been a wonderful, wonderful response. And then the third one is the hostile crowd theory, where it's such a hostile crowd that they were just, you know, the police were fearful and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And the prosecution put together a rainbow coalition, a mixture of 61-year-old man, a 9-year-old girl, teenagers, the MMA boxer, and even folks from the call center, just a mixture of folks who were not even a threat to the police, who were chanting proper information and just saying that they were concerned, but they were not a threat. Now, the problem that we're seeing with the defense, as you've mentioned, as was mentioned by Clarence, is the fact that they're going to try to go after the health defense, because that coroner and Dr. Andrew Baker, his diagnosis was so vague that the prosecution had to say and force it out of him that, no, the person died of asphyxia because of the pressure on his neck and also on his chest. But that coroner was not going to admit to that. That's why they made sure to keep him last and bring the other subject matter experts first. So now we're in a battle of the experts, because the defense is going to use Dr. Andrew being last as, no, if the coroner did not say that it was asphyxia or there was a little bit of doubt there, then it's possibly one of the other theories that we're using. So this will be interesting. I say that everyone prepare for the worst, as Pastor Jones has kind of alluded to. I mean, it could become positive, it could become negative. But my thing is that I want everyone to be calm and not riot and not do all the heinous thing they did with the Rodney King beating, but that just be expecting that whatever was said that gave you hope, the defense, in doing its job, is going to try to bring that as a reasonable doubt. Now, the one thing that people are a little confused on are the charges. You have second-degree murder, and you have third degree. Second degree primarily deals with intent without premeditative malice aforethought. It's not premeditated. It wasn't planned. It's just the person had an intent and desire. There is talk that Chauvin and George Floyd knew each other in different capacities as security officers in another spot, and that George Floyd had to reprimand Chauvin because he was being too rough. So there could have been some bad blood between them. So that could slide over towards the intent. Now, the other is third degree, which is always a confusing term, because that is one where it has no intent whatsoever, but it uses depraved heart murder, which means that they're doing an act or something which is known to be dangerous, but they didn't have the intent to try for murder. It just part of the process used just resulted in it. So it could be negligence or an accident. So if there is a conviction on the third degree, then it shows that it was a dangerous act, which goes back to the lack of training, the negligence, and the problems that the police force is having in doing their job. So be looking out for one of the two of those, because that's what they're trying to say, that you know, there was no intent, which is hard to prove, but that possibly there was negligence involved because of whatever. But then it's seeing that when you look at the pictures and you look at him looking into the camera, everyone keeps leaning over towards, no, there was intent because he knew what was doing. He knew where to put the body next to the car so that carbon monoxide would be in his face, and that just the way that the position was along with the others in coordination causing all these problems resulted in Mr. Floyd's death. So it'll be interesting. What I would suggest you do is wait each week to get the highlights, because otherwise it's going to make you very angry on what they're going to say in order to bring it down. But also we need our leaders out there to calm the fuel and not fan the fuel as we get to it and expect the worst but hope for the best. And so, Cousin V, I yield back to you, but those are my thoughts.
This is Pastor Jones. That was amazing what you just said. Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reams, you hit the nail right on the head. But I want to say this. Everybody who's listening to the show, do not get emotionally distraught over this case, okay? This is not the first time they've tried an African-American human being on a big case like the George Floyd case, and we didn't get what we thought was the right thing. But they're always going to manipulate the case. They're always going to say things to try to make it seem like he was wrong. But everybody in the whole wide world, everybody that was watching TV at that time, saw the knee on his neck. They saw the look on his face. He did not get up off of that man's neck for 7 to 8 minutes. He just stayed. He kept his knee on his neck at all times, never took his knee off of his neck. His face was down by the tailpipe where the carbon monoxide was blowing. This is a premeditated conspiracy to cause death to a human being. Whatever bad blood they had between them, it'll come out in the case. But I'll tell you right now, a murder took place. And it was a premeditated murder because he was angry because he didn't like George Floyd, and he wanted to make an example out of him in front of the world on public television, and he did just that. People were standing around begging the officer to take his knee off of his neck. The man is down. He's not harmful to anybody. Take your knee off the man's neck. The case that we're watching right now is one of the most important cases for us, and let's remember that racism plays a role. Let's remember that the police officer was definitely not doing his job properly. Let's remember never to forget that we can't allow this to stress us out to the point to where we get high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, and even a heart attack. Because some people get so upset about these cases, they go to the hospital. So let's just watch the case. Make sure you have somebody to talk to about the case. Make sure you share your feelings with people and let people know how you feel. But don't overwhelm yourself with the case, okay? Just take one day at a time. Without further ado, I yield back to you, Cousin V. Take it over. God bless everybody. What's really going on with the George Floyd case? Go ahead, Cousin V.
Well, I want to get Professor Reins back in on this topic because, as Clarence said, they killed this 20-year-old guy yesterday, and it was only 10 miles from where George Floyd. It was only a warrant for his arrest, but we have these mass shooters out here, and they're escorting them to jail. So, Professor Reins, could you give us some more insight?
Well, the problem with this case is that the person was unarmed, and all they did was turn around and try to walk back into their car before they were shot. And unfortunately, the warrant, or at least the idea of, you know, they have a premonition or so that there is something wrong, is only would lead to a general arrest if they have that precognition of something wrong, but they didn't have a warrant. All they did was work on a stop, and under the Fourth Amendment, they have to have stronger evidence than that, even with a prior warrant. So this was uncalled for whatsoever, and it also shows how the imbalance is in the criminal justice system, because the fact that we've seen this happen, it's happening in Minnesota. It's also part of their training. There's also that situation happened in Virginia where it seems like it's another thing where the two types of justices are being handled. And in the end, the resistance that this person did, there is no reason for that person to get shot, not one whatsoever. He was not armed. He was not a threat. And therefore, it resulted in another situation, which this part of Minnesota is going to have to handle when the family has to deal with it. And it will show, I wish that even if they had body cam, that these are poorly trained officers and that it was deliberate on how they handled it. So I yield back. Oh, and if you're talking about those being escorted, once again, the two criminal justice systems of the folks who are committing sedition, it's just blatant at this point. There was a discussion of infiltration within the police force, and you're seeing how the two tiers of justice is working, and it's working just fine for one side, but not for the people of color. So I yield back to Cousin B.
And then one other thing, it just happened to be the same time as the George Floyd case is going on, right there still in the state of, the city of Minneapolis. And so what about the fact that they're calling out the National Guard and everything, because they are rioting again once in that area. So could you give us a little bit more insight? Then we'll move on and get some of our co-hosts' opinions.
Yes. So what happens when this occurred? Then it as usual outraged the community because again there was no reason for this to happen. So it started out as a visual of folks that are protesting, and they had surrounded the local police department demanding justice and doing their protest and all. They were given a warning of they needed to disperse. That didn't happen. Then the police comes out and starts shooting out their rubber bullets and also chemicals that they normally shoot out, tear gas and whatever. And then that really set everything off to causing people to just go ballistic and go after the businesses and go through what we experienced in the Rodney King beating. Not to that extent, but for that area, yes, it is. And this is almost like a dress rehearsal of what may occur under the Floyd case, Derek Chauvin case trial. And it's just not a good situation overall because the original protest was just protesting. And it shows that police officers are still under authoritarian mode where they will use as much force as possible to protect them. And you also have to see that within the ranks, that the police officers are now are being attacked, but rightfully so, and there's police reform and there's folks overall, so they're going all out protecting, policing on doing everything they can to maintain some sort of authority and power. So that's why we have to come back to the leaders involved, whether it's the mayor or the city or the city council or whoever it is, and the people, because we have not had that conversation on police reform. We've been talking at each other but not talking to each other, and it's almost like building the battlegrounds, almost like the Civil War would be. So we have to be very careful that these things, we are still divided as a country. We have 74 million that voted for Trump and the other 83 million that voted for Biden, and that these little skirmishes are reflective of how divided we are when it comes to police authority, and also when the folks that are in power are feeling threatened that their power is leaving. Usually this manifests itself in the form of police officers under the authority of their power, exaggerating or even abusing their power in order to maintain the status quo. So I would imagine that leading up to the final verdict, there'll be some other incidences across the nation of things cropping up. So just hold on, be prayed up, and let's take it one day at a time, as Pastor Jones has mentioned. So I yield back to you, Cousin V.
Thank you so much for your expertise, Cousin V.
Pastor Jones. I want to say this to everybody too. The young man that was shot over the weekend, now you know good and well the police shouldn't have shot him for a warrant. If you have a warrant for your arrest doesn't mean that you're a criminal. It could be a moving violation as a warrant.
Yep.
You know, some people
That's
forget
right.
about their tickets and it turns into a warrant. It doesn't mean that they have to use deadly force because the young man wanted to walk back to his car. The young man is not a threat. He didn't have a weapon. And this is just how they do us. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we are going to have to do something to change the law about these rogue police officers out there on our streets. And then secondly, which is actually first, if you shoot and kill an innocent young man over a warrant, you don't think that the public is going to be upset? You don't think that the community is going to want to say something and do something? Come on now. Let's wake up and smell the coffee. There's a new cup being brewed every second. There's no way in God's green earth you're going to kill a young man in our community over a warrant and then not expect for the mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts and cousins and community leaders not to be appalled and not to be upset. We are not – that is a modern-day lynching. That is a modern-day lynching without a rope. The George Floyd death was a modern-day lynching without a rope. We are not going to be hanged anymore. We are not going to be bamboozled anymore. We're not going to be ran over anymore. We're not going to be not listened to anymore. We're either going to take action, and you better get ready, government, because we are not just saying no. No, we're not going to stand down anymore. If the president can tell his people to stand down and stand by, I'm telling my people, stand down and stand by. Cousin V, please take the floor. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, because we all have rights. Go ahead, Cousin V. Take it over.
Okay, so Cousin Vera, now you've heard more insight from Professor Reams and also from Eddie and Clarence. What's your opinion on the subject?
Yes, with the three of the guys, yes, they gave some awesome information. I haven't been watching the case like every day, but what I do know is it's one of the most watched cases of the 20th century. And at this time, all eyes are open. And working in law enforcement, it definitely is a very, very dangerous job. However, using deadly force just because someone is not listening or paying attention, that's not good. So my theory is, how would Mr. Chauvin feel if one of his coworkers would put their knee on his neck and have him cuffed the same way? He would die as well. So this is not good for any of us. we wouldn't do this to any human or any animal deserve any type of treatment that way. As working in law enforcement myself, I say and think that the most important thing at this time for every single department, every single police department is training and more training, and work with different scenarios because they do not ever know what they're going to walk or drive into. And that's my thoughts.
All right. Thank you so much. And Talana, do you have an opinion on what you think about what's going on?
Yes, Cousin G, I do. and just to agree with the entire panel, Dad said a modern-day lynching. I thought about Strange Fruit as soon as Dad said that. I still have been calling this modern-day slavery. This is the worst. Our police officials can get away with murdering our people and still receive a pension and or, you know, go back home to their family. But there are people now who have been serving time in jail for no reason and probably still now to this day are fighting their cases just to be released from a crime that they never committed in the first place. Or there are situations where people who are being rehabilitated in jail . So no matter what we do, we're basically considered as the bottom of the food chain. And it's disrespectful, and we came first. God is black. So how is that fair that we have to deal and also be put in the midst of murderous, disrespectful men or women who classify themselves to protect and serve, but just the opposite, and also can kill. Thou shalt not kill. So you can go against God and to protect and serve. And I also have another question to add. Why is it fair that police officers are able to maintain and keep their jobs after murdering someone?
Good question.
Okay, I want to answer that question, Talana. This is your dad. Hold on a second. Now listen, I don't understand how a police officer can do a wrong killing, can kill somebody the wrong way, and because they have the police protection, Professor Reams, what do you call it that the police officers have? It's the
Police Protection League.
Mm-hmm. It's the Police Protection League.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing they have, too. I forgot the name of it. That they get together and they use these I call it the blue flu. All the people in uniform stick together no matter what, whether it's wrong or right. They articulate the reports. They articulate what happened. They can change the videos. They can do all kinds of stuff. They've been doing it for years, but now we got video cameras. We got cell phones. And they can't do it. That's why they couldn't get away with the Rodney King beating, or they would have got away with it. But see, we have evolved so much, and we have so much technology that we can videotape them, we can film them, we can audio tape them. But the thing is that they get to have administrative leave, and they get paid, and they should not get paid. The moment they do a murder, and the chief of police knows it's wrong, they should be off duty without pay. Until further notice of the investigation pending, and there should be a fast-track investigation. It shouldn't have to take 3 months. It shouldn't have to take 2 weeks. They already know that the officer was out of, just like when the officer shot the young lady in the window that was playing a game, and he was up at tapping on her window. The police officer was wrong for shooting her. You know where he is now? He's in jail. I thank God that now police officers can go to jail for wrongful shootings and wrongful murders. And it's about time. We've been long overdue. With that being said, I'm going to yield the floor back to you, Cousin V. Who haven't we heard from yet?
Miss Linda.
Who haven't we heard from?
Miss Linda.
Go right ahead, Miss Linda. How do you feel about the George Floyd case? What do you think should happen? And what's on your heart?
Well, I totally agree that the officers should be put in jail at the very least, that he should lose his paycheck, and that he should no longer be allowed to be a police officer.
Okay, well, with that being said, okay, hold on a second. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Patrick, can I piggyback just a little bit more on this topic right here?
Yes, please elaborate, please.
Yes, and going back to Lana, this is not fair. It's not fair for any of us as citizens of the United States of America. Police, they are protected by the Constitution of the United States. They are backed by police unions, the Fraternal Order of Police. They are immune in many ways in written laws, where if they do shoot someone, they won't be prosecuted. But we're looking at the George Floyd case, where this is the tip of the spear, where we're about to make some changes, and it's all in due time. Now, back on December 20th, there was a active lieutenant, in the state of Virginia, was pulled over by police. In his uniform, a lieutenant, black lieutenant, was pulled over. He was maced, discriminated against, and pulled out of the car, put on his knees, handcuffed. One of the officers have been fired. So we're slowly making progress. But going back to what Pastor Eddie said, why does this nation, this society in this nation continue to allow these police to get off after they killed one of us with pay not to be prosecuted? So this is where our voting process come in. We have to hold these politicians, our lawmakers, toes to the fire, put their hands in the fire, and before we even elect them, what are you going to do about these police policies? Some of these chief of police need to be held accountable. You know, I said last week, you know, people always say that, bad fruit don't fall far from the tree. Well, if the tree continue to produce bad fruit, isn't that tree bad and it needs to be cut down? So I commend the police chief up in Wisconsin and Kenosha for standing on trial, for saying what's right against Derek Chauvin. This guy needs to be executed, you know, and not going back to his coworkers. What if somebody stood on his children's neck with their knee for 9 minutes and 29 seconds? How would he feel? We got to get personal with this. These are personal attacks, whether we're directly involved or not, because we are directly involved. It might not be just so close to us where we can feel the pain from that loss of life, but we are directly involved. Because what if one of our kids be the next subject out here to one of these police that has sworn in with a hidden agenda? We have to recognize where police came from. They were the slave catchers. After emancipation, they created this police force to watch us. To watch us. They made black codes. They made Jim Crow laws to continue to put us in slavery, if not the grave. So these prison institutions, they are the new slave ship, a book written by a friend of mine, Melvin Farmer, a ship that never sails. You know, Walmart has prisons making uniforms from slavery. They have fish farms in prison. Well, we're going to the market to buy fish. It could probably come from a prison. So thank you for that moment.
Now, I just want to say this. I want to jump in. This is Pastor Eddie Jones. You guys are on the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Now, this is what I want to say to you, all you listeners out there. We don't have to riot, y'all. That's why they got paperwork. We need to write legislation to change the laws. The laws ain't going to change without us making them change. We need to write Congress. We need to write the president. We need to write that all policing across the United States of America need to be more sensitive to African Americans and Latinos. Okay? They can't just keep getting away with this like this is just regular everyday work. We have to make them responsible for their actions, and we can't do it unless we do legislation, documentation, and keep on filming them, keep on watching them. We need to have a watchdog crew on all of the LAPD officers. We need to watch them. We need to watch the Highway Patrol. We need to watch the Sheriff's Department. They're really, since the beginning of 2021, they have killed a bunch of people. Watch, go and look into the statistics on how many people have been shot and killed by the sheriffs in the last, since January of 2021. You're going to be amazed at how many shootings they've done. And most of them were wrong. I'll give an example. The Latino family called because the young man had a mental disability. The police got there and held him on the ground and shot him in the back while he was down on the ground, shot the young man in the back. He's in critical condition right now. Okay, we got to watch these sheriffs and these police officers. They say they're here to protect and serve. Well, then we need to videotape them every time they pull somebody over. Because if we don't watch them, they'll kill you, and they'll make something up, throw a gun on you, plant some dope on you or something, and they're going to make sure that they get away with doing a killing. It's almost like an initiation for them to come out and kill an innocent human being over a traffic ticket. I don't think so. Over a taillight, I don't think so. Look at Sandra Bland. Sandra Bland was driving her car because she was a civil rights activist. They pulled her over for a taillight. She ended up dead in jail. Why? Why was such a beautiful, phenomenal sister, a queen, annihilated by a white police officer who banged her head into the ground and busted her eardrum, and then they found her dead in her cell, and they said she hung herself? She did not hang herself. Okay, I'm going to rest right there. Okay, want to get some closing remarks on our topic right here. Our topic is what's really going on. What's really going on with the George Floyd case? I'm going to give it to you, Cousin V. Give us some closing remarks on that, and let's go on to our next subject.
My main thought is how he sat there with his hands in his pocket and like he was facing the camera, like, take my picture and watch what I do. That's the most important part to me is how he sat there with his hand, his knee on his neck, and his hand in his pocket, and he was like, just watch what I do. That was his expression to me, and that just haunts you every time you see it. But thank Professor Reams and you for your insight, for us not to really get upset, even though it hurts us, it breaks our heart to see, because even today, with them killing that young man, 20 years old, he had a son. And you know when your kids see that, your kids grow up angry because they don't have a father. Most of us get angry because our dad's just not in the picture. But to be known that your father is killed by someone that's supposed to protect and serve you, then those kids grow up with a different demeanor. So we want to pray for all the kids of all these victims. And also, like Clarence said about the second lieutenant, they didn't just put him on the ground, put handcuffs on him. In the news, they said they beat that man. And he had on his uniform, and he told them he was a second lieutenant. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen with this case also.
Also, yes, the lieutenant, the African-American male lieutenant, I saw the whole thing on the news. Another disrespect. They saw him in his uniform. They knew he was a military man. They knew what a lieutenant looked like. And they still sprayed the guy, threw him down on the ground. You know, we don't get no respect in America, but we bought and paid for America. We picked free cotton. We picked free tobacco. We made America what the heck it is right now. And let me tell you, as a pastor, I'm praying for America because America has not – you think 9/11 was something. Oh, my God. Wait till God shake this place up for the wrongdoing that they're doing to our people. God is going to shake it up, and when he does, I'm not going to be surprised. With that being said, Cousin V, everybody, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. There's no smoking guns. It's the real deal, Holyfield. And at this time, we're going to go into our next topic. Cousin V, please read off our second topic.
The shot. Are you ready to take it, or do you still have second thoughts?
Yes, yes, yes. The old Moderna shot, the Johnson & Johnson shot, and the Pfizer shot. I'm still not taking that shot. And I still see, you know, now they're starting to show how many people are having side effects. Now they're finally getting ready to take notes on who. Yeah, finally. They didn't want to tell us who was having side effects because there were so many people having side effects they didn't want to tell us. Now it's starting to come out to the front because people are going out doing interviews about how they had to lay in the bed for 5 to 7 or 2 weeks to even get over just taking a shot. People have had allergic reactions. People have passed out. People had to be hospitalized because they took the shot. What they don't know is they're putting COVID-19 inside of your body. They are giving you COVID-19. That's what the shot is all about, to help make you immune to the COVID-19. They give you COVID-19. So your body is under attack the moment they put that injection inside of you. Am I taking a shot? No. You can't fly without the shot. They're going to make you have to have an ID, like I told people before. They're going to have sobriety checks in the next 6 to 8 months. If you don't have your sobriety check card, your COVID-19 card, I don't know what they're going to do. They haven't told everybody what they're going to do yet. But with that being said, Cousin V, you're a nurse. Let's go to you. What's really going on with the shot? And are you ready to take it? I'm not. Go ahead, Cousin V.
No, I work the COVID unit, and most of the nurses that work with me, none of us, I don't know of any that even, whether they're Caucasian, black, or Hispanic, or brown, none of us have taken it and don't want to take it because we know that they're supposed to do research. And the things that they're telling, they did not tell people side effects or anything. They just started saying, take the shot, and people went for it without even knowing the side effects and everything that was going on. And so we've worked the COVID unit. None of us have had COVID. Praise God for that, which I really, really say is thank you, Lord, because, like I said, we've been working months and months. And so it has died down. Last time we only had 2 patients. The last time I worked, we were down to 2 patients, from which we had 2 floors of patients with COVID. So, and that was just my part of the hospital. We're inside of another hospital, and they also had a COVID unit. But from us, we were down to 2, and hopefully those may be going home this week if they didn't go home last week. But no, I don't want to take the shot. And also, they're getting into the fact that that is your medical information, and that is a HIPAA violation because nobody needs to know. They don't know what other injections we have except for when we take our immunizations to the school because our kids have to be vaccinated, but it's not shared with everybody in the public. And with that, Professor Reams, would you like to chime in?
Yes, thank you, Cousin Pete. No, I'm still observing. I'm also gauging how the university is going to handle, how the professors are going to interact with our students, because where we're located, we're in ground zero, and they're talking about opening up. So I'm trying to keep an open mind on what the next direction is going to be for our students and how they're going to, if we're even going to have distancing of some type. So it's the jury's still out, but I'm still observing. So I yield back to you, Cousin V.
Okay, and then Clarence Allen.
Okay, well, Clarence, before you go, let me say I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize. This is Pastor Jones. I want y'all to know the side effects are real, you guys. The news is just now starting to talk about the side effects. And here's the question. Why is it they want 16-year-olds to take it? This one's ready to go. 16-year-olds to take it. Now they open up the door for teenagers to take it. They want the teachers to take it. They want everybody to take the shot in the whole wide world. Why is it that they want the whole world to be vaccinated with this vaccine? Is something more to it that we don't know about, that we need to know about? And we don't know. We don't know. We got to find out. So with that being said, I'm going to yield right now. Go ahead, Cousin V. Who's next on our agenda?
So So, and like Eddie said, because he did say, yes, I'm a nurse, and I've talked to people, and I know of even some of our coworkers that have been down, and one lady is still about 3 or 4 weeks, and she's still down with having the side effects from the vaccine. So, yes, those are real. And I also talked to other nurses, and they do have the Parkinson-like symptoms and the shakes. And some do end up in the hospital, and of course we know some have even died. So with that, Clarence, give us your opinion.
Yes, thank you, Cousin V. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all the listeners out here who continue to support and listen to this station. Once again, you're on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show, the number one blog talk radio show in the nation and the world, every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So check your local time to tune in. We have to just look at the history of medicine and bring it up to date. You know, all medical knowledge came from Africa. Medical doctors from Africa were given a bad name once the Europeans were brought out of the Dark Ages into the medieval times, into the Renaissance, and was taught in Africa from universities. Africa had universities when the Europeans was in Dark Ages. And once the Europeans got knowledge of the medical knowledge, today they still only understand 25% of the medical knowledge that came out of Africa. And so what the Europeans did to keep us all ignorant of holistically healing us was that they separated the medical knowledge into three parts: spiritual, mental, and the physical body. So if it's something wrong with your body, you go to the doctor. If it's something wrong with your mind, you go to the psych. If it's something wrong with your spirit, you go to church. But the African doctor know that all three of our entities makes our being, our mind, body, and spirit. So if it was something wrong with your body, not only he treated the body, but he treated the mind and spirit. If something was wrong with your mind, if you had a mental issue, he not only treated your mind, he treated your body and your spirit. If there was something wrong with you spiritually, he not only treats your spirit, also your mind and body. And the African doctor used the natural herbs of the earth to cure and treat everything. So in order to keep us ignorant, the Europeans created research centers. And this is done to discredit the African doctor from all his accomplishments. So they're going to research center and they say, oh, we made a discovery. So we believe that they made a discovery. But these Frankenstein doctors create all of these diseases out here. They created this coronavirus, COVID-19. This is a business. They made this a business. And so to put that out there, you need a vaccine, so they tell the public. But there is something in the ground that we can eat, that we can take to overcome and cure any disease. It's even written in your Bible. So this was what's happening. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan signed an executive order through Congress that no vaccine companies can be sued. So like Pastor Eddie said earlier, they're not talking about the people who got sick and some and the others who died. Hank Aaron passed away 2 weeks after taking this COVID-19 shot. So since you can't sue them, if you take that vaccine and you die, there's nothing you can do. The government this morning has just passed an amendment where they are recompensing families $9,000 for the family member that died from COVID-19. If you look at the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation with the Peer Bright Institute, if you dig in deep, it'll go into Dr. Fauci. If you look at those doctors they had on CNN, all of them, I don't want to say white devils, but that's what they are. They cannot be trusted. So we have to keep our immune system up. We have to stay healthy. We have to do social distancing, wear a mask, wash our hands. And if somebody's next to you without a mask, speak up on it. Can you step back 6 feet? I'm not taking this vaccine. I'm going to keep my immune system up. You know, it goes in the Bible where you have to have your hand on your head stamped in order to buy a cell. These are the first steps to this with the vaccine card. In order to go to the baseball game, to go to this event, that event. If you're not vaccinated, you won't be able to get in. So this is the first steps. So they might have to even change some of the constitutions because of our First Amendment rights, our Fifth Amendment rights. Everything is being eased in to be violated. So whether you take the vaccine or not,
I'm about to close right here. What you're saying?
Oh,
here,
absolutely.
Close
up. Whether you get, I'm not going to ask you not to take the vaccine. Do what your heart will you to do. But whatever you do, wear your mask. Keep it 6 feet. Keep your immune system up. Take your vitamins and stay healthy. Thank you.
All right. Now, this is Pastor Eddie Jones. I want you to know something. This is very, very important. This is very important. They are paying doctors and nurses and celebrities to promote taking the shot. The government is paying people like Tyler Perry. They're paying other people. I can't even name them all, but you see all these people coming out saying, you need the
Kareem
shot. You need
Abdul
the shot. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah, why are they paying people, celebrities, to come out and tell people to take the shot? Because there's something in the shot that shouldn't be in the human body. Now, I'm going to take you guys back to the Tuskegee experiment. Yes, it was a long time ago, but the Tuskegee experiment was when they injected African-Americans with syphilis. They were soldiers, and they were told, the nurse that watched them was told, if you tell them, we're going to kill you and your family. Now, this is the government talking, okay? That's the government. That's what they said. And they injected those African-American males with syphilis. Those are soldiers for the United States of America. How disrespectful. And then don't forget about Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood injected all of our African-American women, a lot of them, with an injection that made them sterile so that they couldn't have babies. Now, why was that? Why was that? Okay? And I'm not being – this is historically written. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They've been running scientific tests on us for years. Instead of using a rat or a monkey or whatever, they've been doing it in our black communities. They did in South Central. They did in the boroughs of New York. They did in poor part of Chicago. They've done it in Detroit and everywhere else in the United States of America. It is time that we wake up. It is time that we take our true positions. And we need to let them know we are not going to go for this. We are not going to go for it. No. This is all about control. If you don't have your vaccine, you can't go to a baseball game. If you don't have your vaccine, you can't go in a certain place where everybody else is. This is all about control. That's what it's all about. I yield back to you, Cousin V. Let's hear from someone else on the panel.
Okay, and then I just wanted to say before that, if you looked at 60 Minutes yesterday, they were saying how they take these vaccines and put them in different cells and stuff and keep them over the years, and then they bring them back and do different things with them to try to find the vaccine. So if you look up 60 Minutes on yesterday, you can look at how they go into some of those experiments. And Talana, would you like to have some words on this subject?
Very vague words. I don't have too much to say. I don't agree. I just feel like the COVID, all of the stuff that's going on in the news that don't quite make sense, all the conspiracy, I still, too, have reserved feelings about taking the COVID vaccine. And as I've heard many of my team members say, everybody, I'm not myself included, I understand you're introducing your antibodies to a virus, which doesn't make any sense. And
Yes, taking away our freedom of being able to choose. And I heard Cousin V also mention the HIPAA law. I also work in the medical field, so I understand exactly what she's saying. That's confidentiality. And we have a right to choose. And that's not just for our essential workers. That's for every living being. So that makes no sense to me. So, no, I will not be taking it. I have been keeping my mask on. I do have to work as well. So I keep hand sanitizer. I keep extra gloves. I make sure to maintain my immune system and take elderberry, and I keep ginger root and turmeric in my refrigerator. So, like, there's no way, you know, to get sick, and I can fight my own, you know, with my own antibodies instead of the virus. And I would never, and now that I understand, we've been introducing our kids to viruses, probably why we have to deal with mental illness and problems that we have now in the world that aren't quite solved. So I don't agree. I yield back. Thank you, Cousin Z, and everyone listening.
All right, and then I also heard Cousin Eddie say how they're playing celebrities, and I know they are doctors and nurses and everybody, even singers, performers getting on TV, and their commercials, that you know, because they constantly, just like any commercial, the more they play it, the more you get paid. But I have taken the oath on that's one vaccine that they're paying, and they have plenty of jobs out there right now. Go out and get a job and start helping out. But that is one job that I will not take, because if I'm not going to take it, I'm not going to give it to someone else. So there I go to Cousin Vera for your opinion.
Well, everything is not, definitely not for everyone. And those that have already taken it, then, you know, I just hope and pray that they're fine. And if they've gone through some medical problems, that they recover. Yesterday, there was an article about the RFID chip. And they were saying that there is a company called the Project Jumpstart, which will actually partnership with the different companies to make sure 100 million people get this injection, and that this particular RFID chip will be one that will have a serial number. So this chip will be inserted inside of you, and the number will show up. And they said, well, they want to make sure that everyone is getting the right thing, and they want to make sure that it also has an expiration date. So they want to make sure that every person that does receive it is actually giving what belongs to them. And it actually has a, they said they had a, it has a barcode as well. So that's all I have for you, Cousin V.
Okay, Ms. Linda, would you like to say something? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, Ms. Linda?
Yes, I would. I totally agree not to take this thing. And I the thing that upsets me the most, I think, is that they're targeting the older people first, because they want to get rid of us, basically. They call us useless eaters and all kinds of things because, you know, and they're trying to get rid of Social Security. They just want us off the planet because we're not making money for them. And, you know, I have a 85-year-old neighbor whose son rushed him to Salem, Oregon, to get his shots, and that really upset me. But there was nothing I could do about it, you know. And all these children think they're protecting their parents, and it's just, they're just doing the opposite because, you know, they know in the first place that, you know, when you're older, your immunity system is challenged, and your, you know, a lot of your bodily functions are challenged as well, you know. So it's just another way to getting rid of people, regardless of race, but just because of ageism, first of all, and then race second of all, you know. So that's my opinion.
Now I want to take the floor for a second. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me? Okay, this
yes.
is Pastor Freddie Jones. This is what else I want you guys to know. You can take the shot tomorrow if you want to, and you can still get the COVID-19 because they have a new strand. They have several new strands of COVID-19. They got a new strand from Brazil, and people are bringing it into the country. Okay, people are bringing in new strands of COVID-19 to America. They have all kinds of new strands. So you can take the COVID-19 shot. It does not mean that you will not get COVID-19. It's supposed to make it a easier, like if you get it, it won't be so bad that you're on a ventilator or a lung machine or whatever. I don't care. You still can get COVID-19 even after you take the shot. So here's my theory. What's the sense of taking a shot if you can still get COVID-19? I mean, which one of the Pfizer, Johnson, or Moderna, which one just protects you completely? Not one of them. And remember, never to forget, they are not FDA approved. They are EUA, emergency authorized by the FDA. Okay? So just wanted to put that out there. And as my sister said, Vera, that was a good point. They are chipping people. Believe it or not, there's a chip sorted, not a chip, in the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, but there's something called Lucifer, which means that if they put it up under a light, it'll glow. So they'll still be able to know if you took the vaccine or not. They'll be able to check you out and see if you took it. So with that, I'll yield the floor back. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Cousin V, take over.
Okay, we have a caller in 323-646. Would you like to introduce yourself and have words? Okay, and if not, we also have a caller at 570-278. Would you like to introduce yourself or have words?
Give honor to God who spoke my life to Pastor Eddie. This is Pastor Ramsey from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Pastor Ramsey, how are you, man? God bless you, Pastor Ramsey. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. God bless you, too. And you go right ahead and take the floor. Let us know what's on your heart, Pastor Ramsey.
Well, praise God. I just want to thank God for Pastor Eddie and all the preachers and pastors, teachers, ministers, apostles. Most of y'all know I've been sick for a long time, since December. I'm here to tell you that with prayers of the righteous availeth much. I got healed from kidney disease. My gallbladder don't need no surgery. The hydration's gone, pneumonia's gone, and now it's my leg. So I got one more problem, but God's going to fix it because with the prayers, I'm going to get off this cane. But thank God for Pastor Eddie and his prayers. Thank God for everybody on this line. But I'm excited on this morning, and I'm doing my workout with the Lord, and I just thank God for being on this station for the first time. God bless you, and I love y'all.
Good morning, Pastor Ramsey. It is a blessing because we did hear your story on Dr. Aretha's blog talk on Thursday.
Yes.
So thank God for your improvement. And it's such a blessing to be able to talk to you.
Yes.
So hold on one second. Hey, David, do you think we need to take those cages and straighten them out and put them all in order?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Amen. Okay, and then we have a caller in 714-683 area code. Would you like to introduce yourself and have words?
Good morning. I'm Pastor Eddie Jones and the radio broadcast and Cousin V. This is Minister Terry. Praise God.
I'm Minister Terry Herbert.
Good morning.
Thank you, Minister
praise
Terry.
Praise God, family. Praise God.
We love you,
Minister
Terry.
You
we love you.
Yes. Yes, I love you all, too. So I'm going to listen in, and I'm going to listen, make sure I go back to the archives and hear the beginning of the broadcast also.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Terry. Thank you.
And then we have another caller in 225-620. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Evangelist Virginia Valentine from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the Hour of Power Ministry.
Hey, Evangelist Valentine. God bless you, Pastor John.
And God bless you all. God bless you all. That I'll be able to listen to it late. I'm a little late, but I want to say God bless you, man of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless
thank
all
you
of you all.
So
amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's
and
what we need on Monday morning.
Yes, you need it. Thank you, Jesus. God
you,
is good.
You
amen.
Along with, yes, you along with Clarence Allen wakes us up on Monday morning. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, I appreciate that. I love to wake people up. When you think you sleep or whatever, I'm going to wake you up in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Make me
amen.
Ooh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, glory to your name, God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hey, my God, yes, Lord.
Hey, stop telling me.
Shut up, Osaya.
Yeah,
God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Put your hands and say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and tell God thank you.
My God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands somebody and tell God thank you.
Hey, glory to your name, God. Glory, glory.
Everybody on these highways, go in and lift your hands and tell God thank you.
Woo, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus.
La, my son. Yeah, God.
You are my son, that I don't want to show
you. Woo, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Somebody lift your hands and tell God I'm grateful.
Lift him up.
Thank you, my God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. Hey, I'm on my Sika Basha. Yeah, God. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I laid them down. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I
laid
the Holy
them
Ghost.
Down at the feet of Jesus. They at the feet
yes.
of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Hey.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey.
Cousin B, you there? Cousin B, Clarence. Professor Reams.
Yes, we're here. We're
this is Pastor Eddie Jones. This is Pastor Eddie Jones. Pastor Eddie Jones. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Pastor,
this is Pastor Eddie
you.
Jones.
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justin Jones Radio Talk Show. You just heard an amazing testimony just now. You just heard some amazing words. And this is a civil rights talk show. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And guess what? We definitely talk about God on our show. And I tell you, where would we be without God right now? When we're going through some trials and tribulations with this COVID-19 stuff, the George Floyd case, and all these police shootings and all these different things that we always have to deal with, we have to stay prayed up. And we got to let God fight our battles. Amen. There is change. Change is taking place. Now, let's find out what our word is of the week. Cousin V, are you there? Cousin V, did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I want to welcome Dr.
Okay.
Rita on the show. Dr. Rita is on.
Hey. Dr.
Good
Rita
morning.
Adams, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning,
can you,
Dr.
Can
Rita.
Can you all hear me? Hello.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Morning,
how are
Dr.
you doing, Dr. Rita Adams?
Happy Monday. I am well.
Happy
Thank
Monday.
You for asking.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Now, Dr. Rita, were you able to hear some of our topics that we were talking about today?
No, I'm sorry. I was not able to hear the topics.
Well, that's okay. You can go back and listen to the show later. But for now, let's do mental health and you. Without further ado, Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, please take the floor and give us mental health and you.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie, and to all of the co-hosts and family, friends, listeners, guests. I want you to know that April 2021 is Stress Awareness Month. This is Stress Awareness Month, something that people, we don't think a lot about, but stress is it's something that we need to manage, right? It needs to be managed. And so according to Medline Plus, stress is a feeling of emotional or physical tension.
Go right ahead. I apologize.
Okay.
Go ahead, doctor.
Okay, no worries. Stress is a feeling of emotional or physical tension. It can come from any event or thought that makes you feel frustrated, angry, or nervous. And stress is your body's reaction to a challenge or a demand. Now, I do want you to know that there are researchers that say, you know what? Studies show that there's positive stress as well, right? Positive stress. For example, it helps you to avoid danger, right? Positive stress. It helps you to meet a deadline. So that's considered positive stress. So I just want to let you know that stress can impact the physical, and it could cause unmanaged stress can impact the physical, your physical body. And so it can suppress your immune system. It can interfere with your reproductive system, okay, or systems. It can cause heart attacks. It can cause strokes, unmanaged stress, okay? And guess what? Unmanaged stress can speed up the aging process, man. And so causes of stress, it can be caused a lot of pressure on the person, a person that's facing big changes, you know, maybe getting married, maybe getting divorced, maybe having a child, maybe starting a new job, big changes that take place in the individual's life, okay, and just worrying about things. So in closing, I just want to give you 10 fast tips on how to rid yourself of stress. Number one, exercise. Number two, reducing caffeine intake. Also writing it down. There's a lot of positive things about journaling and writing out your thoughts, writing it down on paper or journaling. That's really effective for reducing stress. Laughter. The Bible says laughter is like medicine, right? Spending time with friends and family, chewing gum, believe it or not, is a stress reliever. Learning to say no. How about that one? Learning to avoid procrastination. I have to do better with that. I procrastinate too much. Taking a yoga class, listening to music, and I say the best for last. Guess to me the most positive and the most effective thing that you could do for reducing stress is praying. Praying. The best for last. Praying. Listen, mental health matters.
Amen.
And it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Amen.
Wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. And without further ado, hallelujah, that was amazing. But without further ado, it's time for health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor and give us health and wellness. Vera, are you there? Hey, man.
I picked
the message. Girl, are you there?
Eddie, driving.
Oh. Oh, you can still do it? Okay. Oh, you're driving. Okay, let's come back. Let's go to Clarence in Maryland. Clarence in Maryland, can you give us regulate the manual? Regulate the manual. Clarence in Maryland, please take the floor, and let's regulate the manual.
Yes, sir. Once again, thank you, Cousin B. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all my panelists. Thank you to our callers. Thank you to all of our listeners throughout America and the world, to the greatest Monday Morning Blog Talk Radio Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And since, you know, God has come into the show this morning with praise and worship and glorifying him this morning, I'm going to come from Regulate the Manual. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought to pray and not faint. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. When in it then, I will pray with spirit, and I will pray with understanding also, and I will sing with understanding also. Pray without ceasing, without ceasing. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is it merry? Let him sing songs. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject unto like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit too. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee, yea. In the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities be passed over, I will cry unto God Most High. Unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and truth. We have heard several scriptures from out of the book, Regulate the Manual. This book is written. If you'd like to get a copy of this book, go to regulatethemanual.com. Hit me, Clarence and Malin, Facebook. I'm everywhere. I'm Regulate the Man on Twitter. But once again, may God bless all those who have heard this special word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, very brother.
Amen.
Clarence and Malin. Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand for Clarence and Malin. I want to say, very, very well done. I want to say this. So Vera, are you there? Vera, are you with us? Okay, so Vera probably will not be able to do health and wellness.
Yeah, it looks like her call dropped.
Yeah, she's on the road, but I'm going to do a little health and wellness myself. And I'm not telling you guys what to do.
I just want you to know I was on the call too, Pastor Eddie.
Oh, Melanie.
I just want to let you know.
Okay.
You can go. Let me know if you want me to go or not.
Yeah. We want you to go in one minute, just 1 minute. This is a little bit of health and wellness. For those people out there that don't want to take the shot and are not going to take the shot right now, just take 1,000 milligrams of chewable vitamin C, one B-complex vitamin, one D3 vitamin, one echinacea, vitamin A, and one vitamin E every morning. And don't forget your elderberry and drink your ginger tea, fresh ginger tea from the produce section. Okay, with that being said, that'll help build your immune system, it'll help keep you healthy, and it'll help you keep from taking that shot. Without further ado, Melanie Aubrey, let's go with financial literacy. Welcome, take the floor, Melanie Aubrey. So good to hear your voice.
Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. God bless everyone. I know a lot of praise and prayer have been going up, and God inhabits the praises of his people, so truly he is anointing this show and the airwaves, and it's a pleasure to share with you this morning. Today is, well, it's the month of April, and it's Earth Day Month, which I think is really should be every day as well, but it's also Financial Literacy Month, if you didn't know. And so I'm going to go quickly just a few little points about what's up to date on certain items that I was going to share last week. Just FYI, deadline to file our taxes have been extended to May 17th. There's the $300 supplemental unemployment benefit will continue all the way until September. It was scheduled to end in March, but it will go to September 6th of this year. The other thing is the $10,200 that was granted for this year will be considered tax-free if you are making less than $150,000 a year. But and then the PPP loans, again, they keep extending the deadline, and what they're doing is they're just saying that people can apply until the money runs out. So it was May 31st. Last I read, it was June 30th. Check with your accountant or tax professional, you know, regarding or getting advice as to whether or not you should apply for any of these things, but this is just general information about some of the things that are going on since the stimulus or the American Rescue Plan, came into fruition. But as your financial literacy educator, I want you to know that, remember, how money works, it wasn't something we learned in school, and really what it is understanding how we earn, spend, save, and manage and invest our money. And so one of the things that we did at our company, we teach people how money works, and we offer a complimentary, easy-to-read. It's a best-selling book. It was actually the 2020's Amazon best-selling personal financial book in 2020, How Money Works, Stop Being a Sucker. We want people to become students and not suckers, because what we don't know, we get taken advantage of, and the banks and other companies, you know, they profit off of what we don't know about money. So I'll give you my number in just a moment so that you can contact me directly if you'd like a complimentary copy of that book. But I'm going to read a short read out of Looking in the Mirror, Know Who You Are by Apostle Leroy Thompson. I've been sharing about his ministry, and because he ministers about full salvation, you know, eternal life, health, and wealth. And as believers, we are to be the wealthiest ones on this planet, because if we have money, we know what to do with it. We're going to put it towards the kingdom of God and toward the works of God. And some of us have been trained and taught not to love money, or not to, you know, understand that money gives us options and it gives us the ability to live as God has, you know, I believe, planned us to live. So it says, one of the greatest maturing factors in our life is meditating in the mirror of God's word. As a Christian, you can never be fully satisfied with your life in Christ until you mature in this area. Spiritual maturity allows you to have peace during troubling times and power during your weakest moments, because you've learned to depend on God. To mature, it takes more than having a look in the mirror. You're going to have to meditate in the mirror, in the Bible. You're going to have to stay in the mirror until you stop forgetting who you are when you walk away from it. Mirror meditating maturity will make you healthier, happier, holier, and highly favored. And meditation and maturity causes you to continually have manifestations, miracles, and the mindset of God. So I just wanted to share that this morning. My number is area code 323-388-7158. Please feel free to contact me directly again if you have any questions or you'd like a copy of the book, How Money Works. Thank you again for letting me share. Blessings to everyone listening. Thank you again.
Let's give a big hand for Melanie Aubrey with our financial literacy. Let's give her a big hand.
Amen.
Awesome. Big hand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Now,
my pleasure.
It's just amazing what you're hearing on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. It's not a one-man show. It's a team show. It's a family show. It's a
Amen.
Show for me. It's a show for you. It's a show for us all. And what would we do without each other? I'd like to let you know what our word of the week is. And remember, our word of the week is something that you should make applicable to your life. Our word of the week is beautiful. The word of
Amen.
The week is beautiful. Make it a beautiful day. Make it a beautiful life. Make it a
yeah.
beautiful love. And what a beautiful God we serve. And our scripture of the week, is Matthew 7:7. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and that door shall be open unto you. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
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 Our word of the week is beautiful, and our scripture of the week is Matthew 7:7. And I think it's
yeah.
about time for us to hear a little poetry. We're going to go to Linda. Linda, take the floor and give us a little poetry.
Amen.
Okay. Well, I just wrote this morning, and I was thinking about a secret society that keeps writing to me and inviting me to be part of it. And I know that any secret society is demonic. And so I was pondering, how could I minister to these people? And what could I say to bring them around? And so I wrote something called Not Good. It's not good to worship money, said the prophet and the king. By eating too much honey, you'll be losing everything. And at the end, you won't pretend that you were in control because your greed took over until you lost your soul. It's not good to worship beauty or some created thing. Although you may enjoy it for the pleasure it might bring, it's only temporary and contrary to desire. You can't hold fast to what won't last in eternal fire with the tempter and the liar. So tell me what you worship, so I'll know who is your king. The God of love is high above all of his creation, and every tribe and nation he is gathering to sing.
Amen.
Wow. Hey, man. Amen.
Amen.
That's amazing.
Amen.
Amazing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that was beautiful.
That was. Amen.
That was beautiful. It really was. Thank you so much, Linda. That is amazing. Now, we still have time on our show, and I think I had a Cousin V. Are you there, Cousin V?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Cousin V, down at the end, well, first of all, let me send a shout-out. I want to send a shout-out to my cousin, Kim, and the twins, F.A. and S.A. I love them so much. They're my favorite little cousins. They are all my favorites, though. But I want to send a big shout-out to Kim, Brandy, and Randy. And I want to send a shout-out to my little cousin, Brandy's little baby boy. Oh, my gosh. Then I want to send a shout-out to all the people, Debbie Taylor. Also, I want to shout-out to everybody. I've just been put on the board, the executive board of the Susan Miller Dorsey High School Alumni Association, and I'm really grateful to be on the board of the Dorsey High School Alumni Association, where I'm also on the Hall of Fame, the Wall of Fame at Dorsey High, and I just thank God to be on. Thank you so much. I just found out last week, and we're looking forward to doing great work at Dorsey High School, helping out with the students, helping with their graduations. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amen.
I'm so honored to be a part of so many different things that I never thought I would even have time for. But the God that we serve, he creates and makes time for everybody. And he's made time for me, and he's made time for you. And God is moving in all of our lives right now. And I keep hearing this. I want to share this with everybody on the show. Yesterday, I preached a sermon yesterday, and it was called God's Will.
Amen.
It's not my will, but God's will. Not my will, but thy will. And in your life, it will be God's will. And the things that transpire in your life is the will of God. It is God's will that he will look over you, he will watch over you, and he will take care of you. It is God's will. And if you lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, he will direct your path. It is his will that his will is that you have a wonderful, phenomenal, fantastic, and tremendous life. And if you let go and you let God, he'll do something in his perfect will in your life that you never thought he would ever, ever do. So I tell you today, as I'll tell you any other time, if don't just try to hold on and think you can do it all by yourself. When something transpires in your life, whether it's good, bad, or in between, it might even be a storm, which God will help you with that storm. But remember, it's God's perfect will. You got to go through something sometimes to get to something. And sometimes we go through a little storm in our life. Oh, but at the end is a wonderful, beautiful light. And it's the light of God, because that's his will. The light of God is God's will, and his will is to make sure that you are blessed and highly favored in the name of Jesus. And I just hope that helps somebody out there right now. I don't know what somebody's going through right now, but right now I just hope that the light of God is shining upon you and that God's will is working in your life. And if you receive it, just say amen and clap your hands if you receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Cousin V, at the end, Cousin V, down at the end, it's 10:41. Have we got everybody on the show except for the commentary?
We haven't done the sports report. We haven't done Words of Wisdom by Talana.
Oh, my gosh. Talana Jones, please take the floor and give us Words of Wisdom. Following that will be the sports report, and without further from Cousin V. And then following that, without further ado, will be the commentary by Professor Reams, in that order. Without further ado, Talana Jones, take the floor. Please give us Words of Wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessings and favor, everyone. Happy Monday. And I pray that Words of Wisdom be fruitful to you. I chose to just speak it instead of sing it today. But I want to recite Strange Fruit. And it reads,
My.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves, and blood at the root. Black body swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant self, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolias, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot.
Yes. Hallelujah, God.
For the tree to drop, here is a strange and bitter drop. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Hallelujah. Praise. Oh, my gosh.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Oh, my God. That was beautiful.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Let's not forget to let that sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. Those words of wisdom by my daughter, Talana Zion Jones. And thank you, Talana. That will be in our heart. But without further ado, it is time to find out what the Lakers did, the Clippers did, and the Dodgers did. Without further ado, Cousin V, take the floor. Give us a sports report for all you Laker fans out there.
Well, we won't get it. We won't get into the baseball this week, but we'll start baseball because of course, I've been out for a couple of weeks, so I do want to, I know, go back and just sum up the NCAA. But first, I want to say happy birthday to all these April birthdays. At first, it was my granddaughter, Nyla, April 3rd, and we did celebrate her quinceanera on this past weekend. She turned 15, of course. It was a wonderful, wonderful celebration for her. Then her mother, Vanessa's birthday was April the 5th. And then on the 10th, like I said, then Jerry and Brandy's baby turned 18 months old, so he celebrated right along at the quinceanera. And if you look on my Facebook page later on today or tomorrow, you'll see how much he enjoyed himself. On the 13th, it will be my niece Larika's birthday. And on the 16th, it will be my granddaughter Kendall's birthday and also my stepmother Donna's birthday. So happy birthday to everyone. I'm just going to do the Elite Eight. Start with the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. It was Oregon State and Houston Cougars. And Houston had defeated Oregon State. Then Baylor had defeated Arkansas. Also, USC lost to Gonzaga. And Michigan lost to UCLA. So then they advanced to the Final Four, and it was Houston, University of Houston, two Texas teams versus Baylor. And Baylor prevailed and made it to the finals. And then it was Gonzaga and a California team, UCLA. And Gonzaga and Baylor advanced to the championship, and our Baylor Bears from Texas beat Gonzaga 86-70.
Amen.
And then in the NCAA Women's Tournament, the Elite Eight were Baylor and Connecticut. Baylor lost to Connecticut. Of course, UConn is one of the top teams. And then we also had Indiana and Arizona. Then we had the University of Texas Longhorns and South Carolina, and then we had Louisville and Stanford. They went to the Final Four. It was South Carolina lost to Stanford, and then Arizona beat Connecticut. And in the final championship, it was Arizona lost to Stanford, and Stanford ended up being number one ranked at that moment, and it was they beat them by 1 point. 54-53. What a game. And as I say, we always have a Cinderella team every year. So this year was the Baylor Bears. And then also in the Masters tournament, in the PGA Golf tournament played this past week, in the Masters, we also had a Cinderella. Hideki Matsuyama from Japan is the 2021 Masters champion. He is the first Japanese-born male ever in history, so there was a lot of history made just in him winning yesterday. He received his green jacket from Dustin Johnson, the 2020 Masters champion. And then Will Zalatoris, he got the first solo runner-up ever in history. Jordan Spieth was third, Xander Schauffele was fourth, and John Rahm was fifth. And then this is the sad part, and I usually start with that, but we do want to pray for the NFL, former NFL player Philip Adams, who killed 5 people, including a prominent doctor, his wife, and 2 grandchildren in South Carolina, also a 38-year-old man that was working in the yard. A 6th victim was flown to the hospital in Charlotte, and he was in critical condition fighting for his life. Adams was 32 years old. He played 5 seasons for 6 teams. He joined the 49ers in 2010 as a 7th-round draft pick from South Carolina State, played for New England, Seattle, Oakland, New York Jets before his career ended in 2015. He had 2 concussions out of 3 games in 2012, which he would not have been eligible for the CE testing as part of a broad settlement between the league and former players because he had not retired by 2014. His father says he blames the football for his problems his son had. And we're not saying the NFL, we're just saying football in general, because we know that they do get hit a lot of times in the head with that sport. Also, Kevin Smith was a Cowboys cornerback that trained Adams, and he said that Adams had opened a smoothie shop before COVID-19. He didn't do any drugs or drinks. And so his brain, and it's just so sad just to hear that, that these people don't know what they're doing, but his brain mass will undergo the CTE testing, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So that's one reason we want to not only just push our kids to play all those harmful sports, but try other things like golf and soccer and tennis and those other games, not just football. Also, just something for you to think about, Deshaun Watson. To me, another Colin Kaepernick. Why only black players are always made examples or talked about in the NFL, but when the whites, and I know Roethlisberger was accused of something back in the day, and we have not heard anything else about it, but we want to pray for Deshaun Watson. And then just some quick NBA scores so we can get to the commentary. The Lakers played on Saturday. These are Saturday games. Lakers over Nets, 126-101. 76ers over the Thunder, 117-93. The Warriors over the Rockets, 125-109. The Trailblazers over the Pistons, 118-103. The Phoenix Suns, wow. 134-106 over the Wizards. Utah Jazz, 128-112. The Raptors, 135-115. And on yesterday's games, we had the Hawks over the Hornets, 105-101. Celtics over the Nuggets, 105-87. Bucks over the Magic, 124-87. The Pelicans beat the Cavaliers, 116-109. The Spurs lost, beat the Mavericks, two Texas teams, San Antonio and Dallas, 119-117 by 2 points. The Timberwolves over the Bulls, 121-117. The Pacers over the Grizzlies, 132-125. The Knicks beat the Raptors, 102-96. Miami Heat, 107-98 over the Trailblazers. And the Clippers, another high-scoring game. The Clippers beat the Pistons, 131-124. This is my sports report, and y'all have a blessed week. The Lakers do play tonight over the Knicks.
Amen, amen. Well, let's get a big hand for the sports report. Let's get a big hand. All right. Well, now, without further ado, I want you to know this.
Yeah.
Okay. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights and my rights, because we all have rights. And so at this particular time, it is time for the commentary with Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor and give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, a superb show, excellent show of the Real Deal Holyfield with all the wonderful, we have a wonderful time dealing with the facts and also our love for God, but also the opportunity to fellowship, pray, and also make sure that everyone that we bring along feels the love and the faith that we have in our Lord as we continue forth in our own individual journeys. So I say thank you so much, Pastor Jones, for everything, for this format. I also thank Cousin V for everything and all things that she does to keep us going. To Clarence Allen, the regulator, all props to you, one of our prophets in this organization. And to Sister Linda, I got my hug and I am just feeling so rosy warm. So thank you so much to Cousin Vera once again and Eddie for the wonderful list of things that we need to do to maintain our health.
Melanie Aubrey, always a kingdom warrior and a kingdom citizen, always an honor to have you on the program and to see what we're doing with our own financial literacy. Talana knocked it out with Strange Fruit, once again, sowing those unsung heroes, which would include George Floyd and everything going back to the beginning of this country, as having that and the experience we're faced as African Americans. Dr. Aretha, Stress Awareness Month, thank you so much. And I'm going to reduce my stress as we speak, as we continue talking to our fabulous guest, Pastor Ramsey. Congratulations on God working in your life and healing your leg. Minister Terry Hubbard, thank you so much for providing the praises and blessings and gratefulness that we have. And then Evangelist Virginia Valentine, thank you, thank you, thank you, because that moment everyone needed, because the fact that we know what we're going into. We've talked about the situation with the Chauvin trial and that how we're gearing up for the defense and all that stuff. We've also talked about the vaccine and the problems it's having and how that's being challenged and also challenging for us as African-Americans and also for the nation to rebel around what to do and what not to do. And with all that, there are also the issues that are dealing with our families and our friends and looking at the direction that we're going. And one thing that we want to do is take a look at it from a bigger point, because I always look at Philippians 4, version 6, of anxious for nothing and grateful for all things in God. Because think about it. Had we been under number 45, it would have been a lot worse. If now that we're under a different administration that we helped to put in, it's not that we have to do this now, it's that we get to because of the grace of God. Because we get to question what's in this vaccine. We get to now show the world, because we're under a magnifying glass, but we're not doing this alone anymore, of the racial injustices that have gone through this, through the Chauvin case, because it's not just an isolated incident. It's the world looking at us. And this is when we get a chance to shine, to show how great we are, and also to highlight the strange fruits that we've gone through over the years, but also to show how brilliant we've had to handle this for decades and decades of insurrection. So this is difficult. This is hard. This is why you do both, by looking at the negative, preparing for it, but also having the positive. But what's beautiful about this moment is that we are involved in making the change. We are seeing that the institutions that were missed are now crumbling. We're seeing that the power structure is now being questioned. We are seeing change at an extremely fast rate, faster than we've had in years. And we get to be here because the grace of God has allowed us to be here at this time, at this moment, when he placed us here to be the ones to make that change. And as I tell you, even if the case goes left, we can show that we're better than those that are oppressing us. Even if it goes left, we can then stay on that wall, stay on in that boardroom, stay in front of these politicians and make those changes that the good Lord is asking us, begging us, and also placing us to do. So we can't blow this moment. So, yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Yes, we have the specters of the past. But as Talana mentioned a few weeks ago, we're going to go through something which is going to be difficult. But in the end, it's going to be worth it, because God has placed us where we need to be at this moment. And with that in mind, that's my commentary.
Amen. Oh, my gosh, what a commentary. Right. That was fantastic. Right. Professor what a great commentary.
Right. Shout out to everybody. Thank you for a glorious show.
Well, I want to thank this is Pastor Jones. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Clarence.
When Professor Reed slammed the truck, shoot a limo, Daddy Justice Jones, Blog Talk Radio Show has hit the road.
Amen,
it's
amen.
It's would be in the back seat with all of you.
I want to thank Cousin V for hosting. I want to thank Clarence M. Allen and Professor Reed. Talana Jones.
Thank you all.
Dr. Aretha Adams Jones, Melanie Ivory.
The regulator.
I want to thank everybody on our show. I want to thank you, Mrs. Linda. I want to thank everybody that's listening to the show. I want to thank Pastor Ramsey. I want to thank everybody that's listening in Chicago, New York, Detroit, L.A., Texas, Arkansas, and everywhere else around the United States. And all the people that are listening abroad in Egypt, in Canada, in Germany, in Russia, thank you all for listening. And I want everyone to have a good week. Remember, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come and that the only limit in life is the one that you put on yourself. So let there be no limits. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. I want you to have a wonderful week, and the best is yet to come. Cousin V, take us out of here. Give us some music, Cousin V.
Amen.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want you to live on, live on. To every word I say, every word I say.
Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shows together, gonna polish up our acts now. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, the movement.
keep us down. See, our time has finally came around.
Radio Talk